Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
What I did then was to take the Count Five album, the one I dug so cool before and wished I still had so many times, and hold it up to the air and say to the store's manager, "What the hell is this thing doing in the 198 rack? Nobody's going to pay 198 for this." He looked at it a second time, musing. I seized the opportunity. "How long has this thing been sitting here? I bet it must have sat here a year or two at least while other albums came and went. It belongs over there. 89 cents. I think you're right," he said. "I believe that record. No, the whole band, that's right, is one of the all-time clunkers of history. Yeah, put it over there in the 89-cent rack." "Sold!" I hollered. Went over and threw him a buck and rushed out. I had it. The artifact. The stone tablet from Tutankhamun's tomb. A long-lost gem. Priceless. And I got it for only 89 cents. Hey, everybody. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to another edition of Rockin' the Suburbs. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate everybody who listens, whether it's occasionally or on a regular basis. Today, we're taking a little dive into a place that we often go, and I find it wonderful in there, and I hope you'll join me now in Patrick's Book Nook.
Welcome to the Book Nook. Look, we have books. And over there, another book. And right over there, it's a Kindle?
Many thanks to Mike Wagner for his wonderful work on that theme song for the Book Nook. Appreciate it very much, Mike. I'll tell you what led me to this point with the Book Nook. I recently had to do some research for a project I was asked to help out with, and it had to do with the history of punk rock. And I was thinking about it from a different angle, and I started to go back to the work of Lester Bangs, a legendary critic who wrote for a variety of periodicals, most famously probably connected with Cream magazine, and before that Rolling Stone, but Cream is really where he was in his prime. Lester passed in 1982, so I never was aware of Lester when he worked for Cream magazine or when he even was writing later in his career for the Village Voice or anything like that. I came up to him through anthologies, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. But I went back and was really studying some of his pieces, and I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to talk about the books that are in print about Lester or collections of work that Lester did. And, I mean, basically, I'll say when I first read Lester Bangs, he was the first writer that I ever read that wrote like rock music sounded, if that makes sense. I mean, when you read his stuff, you got the same thrill and energy and magnificence that I got from my favorite rock and roll records. And so I was immediately drawn into his work. And there are three books that I have having to do with Lester. Two of them are collections of his work, and one of them is a biography telling his life story. But let me start with the one I think everybody should have, and that is a collection that came out in the year 1987. It is entitled Psychotic Reactions and Carburetor Dung, the work of a legendary critic, Rock and Roll as Literature and Literature as Rock and Roll. It is edited by Greil Marcus, and it collects some of Lester's most classic pieces. including the title track or title piece of this book, Psychotic Reactions and Carburetor Dung, A Tale of These Times. And this is the piece that I was discussing with somebody in which Lester sort of seems to have figured out what punk rock was in 1965-ish. And basically, you know, for Lester, I think the wrapping up of the first period of punk for him really was when the Velvet Underground and the Stooges put out their, considered their final records anyway. And it's just an amazing tale of having to do with the band, the Count Five. But it's essential reading, I think, for any rock and roll fan. If you have never read that piece, it's so worth it. There's also incredible writing on the Stooges, a piece called James Taylor, Marked for Death, that's really kind of about the Troggs. There's a whole bunch of reviews, classic reviews he did for Cream Magazine. And of course, his famous run-ins with Lou Reed. There were two very famous pieces he wrote in Cream Magazine in the mid-70s where he and Lou sort of tried to out-talk and out-drink and out-insult each other. And those are in here, as well as some stuff where he moved to New York City. He left Cream Magazine over a dispute with the publisher, Barry Kramer. He went to New York and became a freelance writer, wrote a lot for the Village Voice and other publications. And there's some very interesting notes and unreleased pieces, outtakes, essentially, if you will, that are in this book. It really is one of the greatest rock and roll books that I've ever read, and consider it to be just essential for your music book collection. If you don't already have it, many people might already have it, but if you don't, this is the one, I think, to start with for Lester. Now, once you read all those pieces, and Lester, of course, writes very much personally about himself. You'll hear a lot in these stories about his own insecurities and loneliness and experiments with various substances and all kinds of things that he gets up to. It's very influenced by the Beats. That was a big part of what he did, and makes you certainly want to learn more about Lester. And there's a book called Let It Blurt, The Life and Times of Lester Bangs, America's Greatest Rock Critic, written by Jim DeRogatis, who is a noted author and podcaster himself, of course. This book was published in the year 2000 by DeRogatis, and it's a great read. I mean, after reading an entire book of Lester's essays, and you come to read, you know, the work of a normal writer, anybody, I think, would pale. But also, it's a biography, so the tale does demand some degree of objectivity, and, you know, you don't want to outwrite your subject. So it is written in a much flatter style. That's not to say it's dull, but it's giving you the facts. And, you know, Lester had a very sort of turbulent childhood. His father died in a tragic fire when he was younger. He lived a lot of his formative years with his mother, who was a very devout Jehovah's Witness, and had Lester, you know, out peddling the magazine for the Jehovah's Witnesses, and went through a terrible experience when he was younger with the Hell's Angels. He witnessed something that they did, and it scarred him for the rest of his life, and he carried that with him. So this is all excellent background information. But I don't think without reading the first book and then go into the biography that you get as much of it as you might. So if you really love Psychotic Reactions and Carburetor Dung, I think it's definitely worth reading Let It Blurt, Life and Times. And it very well describes the end of his life as well, too. Jim DeRogatis interviewed Lester when DeRogatis was a young man and an aspiring journalist. And, of course, there's lots of quotes from the people who knew Lester best. And it's not always a pleasant tale. Sometimes Lester really gets himself into all kinds of difficulties. But for the most part, his spirit and his energy comes through. And you can see his unbelievable passion for music in all the pages. It's very good. And finally, there's another compilation of his pieces called Main Lines, Blood Feasts, and Bad Taste, a Lester Bangs reader that's edited by John Morthland, who knew him in New York, was one of his neighbors, and was a good friend, personal friend. And he put together all these pieces in here. And it's sort of a second part of the compilation, the second part of the Psychotic Reactions, and put together in a similar style, you know, organized in chunks. There's also a good size excerpt from the first serious longer piece that Lester ever wrote, which was a novel called Drug Punk that he started back in his early days before he was published anywhere other than, you know, in his own mind, before he started writing for places like the San Diego Door and things where he started out. There's a whole bunch of more reviews in here that are great. Some kind of essential ones with about Wet Willie. It's one of my favorites. He writes in here about the Stones. He writes in here about Dylan. There's also some very interesting, there's a whole big section on the Stones, actually. There's a little more Lou Reed stuff, but there's also some travel logs, which are very interesting, I find. There's a very interesting section when he spent a lot of time in Jamaica and interviewed Bob Marley and some writing there that's really good. And then, you know, kind of some stuff that was unpublished and liner notes, for example. There are liner notes to a Mekons album in here. Read the first one, loved it, and then found the story of Lester's life very interesting. And without a doubt, you want to pick up Mainline's Blood Feast and Bad Taste. You know, I would not have it. That's for darn sure. It was published in the year 2003. And a lot of Lester's work now has been found and put together. And as John Morthland notes in the intro to this book, Lester wrote before the time of computers. So all this stuff had to be hand inputted word by word into something to put all these books together when they were put together. And you have to remember, too, that he wrote in a fabulous, free-flowing style, so it certainly couldn't have been a very easy task to compile all these books when they were compiled. So for that, too, it's a heroic achievement. And I think you can find all these in paperback for pretty decent fair prices. So a little update on Lester Bangs. I had all my books out and all my Lester Bangs books doing some research. And I'm about to put them back in their rightful place on the shelf, but I wanted to share it with you before I did so. So if anybody is a Lester Bangs fan, certainly I think these three are kind of essential. Highly recommend at least Psychotic Reactions and Carburetor Dunk. I will say, if anybody out there was of an age where they were able to read Cream magazine when Lester was still writing for it, or the Village Voice or anything, would love to have any stories about Lester or anecdotes or thoughts about it. I think it would be great. I'm such a big fan. He's probably my favorite rock writer, right up there with Byron Coley and a couple other people that really inspired me. So that's it. What would Lester play out with? Let me see if I can think about that for a second and give you a little something to take us out. But that's your Lester Bangs. That's your Book Nook. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Sort of tried to out-talk and out-drink and out-insult each other.